Hello and welcome to The Master's Voice, the podcast series on MediaBrief.com. I'm your host and friend Pawan R. Chawla, and I have with me someone who truly is a young veteran, brings in phenomenal 25 years of experience, a very eventful career actually, and that pun is intended because I have with me today Zarif Tapia, Vice President and Head of Virtual Events at AdFactors PR. Zarif, welcome to the show.
Hey Pawan, great to be with you. I'm really looking forward to this interaction with you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Zarif, for giving us so much time on this very special episode, because I think it's going to be something really interesting for everybody in the industry, business owners, CMOs, everybody who seeks to continue to be able to create engagements that empower businesses. And you know, nothing better and more suitable than virtual events. So Zarif, give me just a couple of minutes. I need to introduce you. And here goes. Zarif is Vice President and Head of Virtual Events at AdFactors PR, a national agency-wide role at India's biggest and most successful and awarded PR agency. Zarif has spent the greater half of his 25-year career growing as an events professional with India's foremost events and entertainment giant, Whizcraft International Entertainment. Soon after that, he exercised his leadership skills with Edelman's experiential arm in India for 2 years. And today at AdFactors PR, in fact, Zarif joined AdFactors PR just when the first lockdown started to kick in, the lockdown following the pandemic. Uniquely, at AdFactors PR, his role is designed to deliver virtual experiences either as standalone events or as a complement to existing influencer campaigns. So across a truly eventful career of more than 25 years, Zarif has been bringing to the table strategic thinking, experiential innovation, and the ability to drive business growth with a proven record in delivering experiential excellence across sectors. And when we speak about sectors, all through his career, Zarif has counseled renowned companies and brands across sectors such as automobile, technology, telecom, infrastructure, energy and petroleum, financial services, development sector, consumer and retail, travel and tourism, media, sports and trade associations. I'm out of breath there, Zarif. Zarif's interests lie in fitness, coaching and transformational learning during his leisure time. He loves music, traveling and exploring new cultures. So I give you Zarif Tapia, Vice President and Head of Virtual Events at AdFactors PR.
Thanks, Pawan, for that lovely introduction. Sounds quite a mouthful, but yeah, that's what it is.
And that's why you're on The Master's Voice, Zarif. So, Zarif, company announcements, unveilings, launches, shareholder meets, numerous other kinds of initiatives involving the media or larger public audiences, including the media. These used to be the popular and big-ticket methods of a company, big or small, stepping into the arc lights and making its announcements. I'm talking about ground events, small or large or massive. They used to be the preferred go-to-market methods. They demonstrated a company's seriousness of intent and extent of belief about the initiative or launch. How has the COVID-19 pandemic impacted the space of live and on-ground events as a major marketing tool? I know it's been very bad, but what's the extent been like? You know, any numbers or industry estimates or guesstimates about the COVID effect?
Sure, absolutely. Thanks for that question, Pawan. It's so relevant. As you're aware, unfortunately, the live event industry has suffered literally a 90 to 95% revenue loss during the pandemic. It kind of employs about 10 million people who have been impacted in some form or the other. And another 80% plus retrenchment of workforce since the first wave of the pandemic. So it's been a hard year for the industry. And as per EMA estimates, the size of the business is about 5 lakh crores in the organized as well as unorganized sector. So you can imagine the economic impact it has had on the industry as a whole, not to mention people's livelihoods. So it's really been something that nobody knew was coming. Just moving on, you know, as you may be aware, this generational shift in consumer preferences from mere goods and services to premium experiences that we've all been privy to was a widely hyped and well-documented phenomena first coined in 1998 by Joseph Pyne and James Gilmore as The Experience Economy. It's a best-selling book called The Experience Economy. And I'm just bringing this up here because this innovative and much-hyped segment of the marketing communication industry, which is live events, has literally collapsed before our eyes. As companies in the experience economy faced unprecedented challenges from the spread of COVID-19, and thereby government reactions to that further limit the size of public gatherings. So literally not only live events, but everything live, all live experiences, whether it's theater, multiplexes, eating out,
everything's
impacted hugely.
All feet plucked off the ground, actually, really sad. Yeah. And what's your advice to marketers who might have, you know, small, big or massive announcements to make? How should they go about those if they have the inclination and the appetite, and also I think are evolved enough to have the appetite to spend on an important announcement and reveal?
So what's really happened, Pawan, is that the pandemic has democratized experiences.
I like that. Yes.
What that means is people, you know, whose privilege and power would normally shield them from a crisis are facing quarantines, testing positive and losing loved ones. So it really leaves no room for opportunists at all. Instead, it's an opportunity to respond with humanity.
Wonderful, Zarif. That's really well said. I must repeat this. It's an opportunity for marketers to respond with humanity, with purpose. Lovely. Yeah, please go on.
So it's likely going to make us more empathetic and innovative marketers for years to come, Pawan. We're compelled to let go of outdated distinctions between marketers and consumers, or between brands and target audiences. In this moment, we're all simply human. So yeah, it's created a world where brands must put people, not products, first, where consumers crave connection, not commercials, where technology must deliver better experiences, not just broadcast information.
Wonderful. Zarif, you've virtually been there and done that, you know, taking everything from on ground to the virtual space for AdFactors events. So do you want to just count off two or three important ways in which marketers and brands can, you know, answer the call to be, how you put it so beautifully, to be more human in this time of crisis?
Right. So I would say there are three ways in which marketers can answer the call to be more human in this time of crisis. One is act like a first responder, not a marketer, which basically means the pandemic is a global emergency, not a marketing opportunity, right? So brands need to act like first responders, determine what resources they have to meet urgent community needs, and act on them. For example, we have so many examples. I would just kind of take one example that me and my team were involved with the announcement of a joint venture between Tata MD and Apollo Hospitals to launch Tata MD Check, which was a diagnostic test for COVID, which they kind of launched, which was much quicker than the regular tests that people were having. So things like that. So that's one. Second would be seek to lift spirits, not sales, right? So if your brand's product or service is not essential during the crisis, the challenge is to consider how you might spark a bit of joy, connection, or laughter at a time when it is most needed.
Excellent. So the first two are, first, act like a first responder, not a marketer. That's truly insightful and wise. And then seek to lift spirits, not sales. So what is the third recommendation you have?
Third is, literally reimagine experiences. You know, we have to find and create innovative ways for people to connect with their passions online. And there are quite a few brands that have done that. A very good example is what Google Arts and Culture has done in terms of partnering with 2,500 museums and galleries around the world, right from the Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam to the Met Art Museum in New York. And they've offered virtual tours and online exhibits for everyone. It's amazing. So the smartest and best brands, Pawan, whether big or small, have pivoted to virtual events and virtual experiences.
Absolutely. And you must have had your hands full. But before we come to that, in terms of, you know, the kind of experiences you've had in the last year and more with virtual events, there's one thing that very often, I mean, I hear some marketing custodians say, you know, let's save money. And they're justified if they are in a resources crunch. So if it's a media announcement or a roundtable, they'll say, let's just put up a Zoom or Teams meeting and, you know, do the kind of virtual meeting everyone's doing every day with their internal teams and colleagues. So what would you recommend there in terms of an approach or way of looking at the options, you know, using the virtual space, even for a small roundtable or the biggest stuff that's happening?
I would answer this question, Pawan, with some further context here and drive the audience's attention to the fundamentals of engagements, right? Like we all know that new opportunities are born out of adversity. And COVID-19 has presented that opportunity for agencies, brands to reinvent what an experience means, right? And to capitalize on tools and tech that haven't really been tapped into yet from an experiential standpoint, right? Some of the tools and technologies that we've been using is all things that we've just seen for the first time in the last 6 to 12 months. So traditionally, we think about experiential journey as having four objectives: educate, inspire, connect, and community.
So tell us a little more about each of these four main objectives.
Within each of these pillars, the questions that brands need to ask and adjust to the new reality. So if you want to inform and educate, how do you best share information about your brand or new product launch in this new environment, right? With everything that's going on, are there new benefits that we could communicate about our brand or product that we could promote? That's a question that brands need to ask themselves. And second would be, how do we inspire our audiences? With so much noise competing for their attention, how do we make space for consumers to shift, reframe their thinking and consider our products? Is there still a way to get them excited about our product? That's another question. Because consumers are craving, Pawan, for both distraction and inspiration.
Excellent.
And if there's something that a brand can do to fill these needs, that's great. A good example of this I would like to add here is a project we worked with the Singapore Tourism Board. And under normal circumstances, you'd not think of a tourism brand wanting to promote itself. But that's exactly what we did. And we actually used gamification as a tool to engage their trade partners in India, with the whole objective of inspiring them about Singapore as a destination, giving them new information, and just connecting them and building that whole community, you know, and showing solidarity with their trade partners. So that's Inspire for you.
Excellent, excellent. I honestly feel that it takes a truly evolved, smart, forward-thinking brand to actually come in with, you know, some kind of communication which brings in a lot of purpose and the emotional connect also, and very subliminally also speaks about the great promise of what it's offering. And Singapore Tourism Promotion Board in the travel space, which has been like a flatlined ECG line, doing that is amazing. Yeah, and connect.
Yeah, so it's all about authentic connections with our consumers. How can we let our consumers know that we understand the new reality, right? That's so important. We are living it too. We are still right there next to them. Is there a way that we can add value, make things simpler, or add a pleasant surprise to their now even more stressful days? Another example is some work we did with SBI Life Insurance when they launched an entire initiative called Sampoorna Suraksha across their stakeholders in India. You know, we did multiple events virtually to kind of bring that alive. And that was an amazing initiative during the height of the pandemic. And the last would I would say is community. So, you know, if there's one thing that the pandemic has taught us, we're all in it together. So how does my brand authentically build community during this time? That's such a great opportunity. Could we create a project with a shared vision and participation? And the beauty of experiential marketing, Pawan, is that we've always been focused on meaningful connection between brands and consumers. And this is a great place to pivot from, you know, to figure out how can we be more creative, perhaps, you know, send the audience blue blocking glasses to accommodate the overuser screen time. So can we do these small gestures that can add value and audiences can remember us for? It's time to get creative. So you see, there's so much more to virtual engagements and experience than just getting onto a Zoom or a MS Teams call. I mean, there's such a lot that you can do.
Right. When I mentioned the Zoom or the MS Teams call, I was only referring to something really small, like a small little round table or just a 1 to 10 or 1 to 20 kind of a meet. But wonderful, absolutely, very insightful. Time to take a break. This is your host and friend Pawan R. Chawla on the Master's Voice on MediaBrief.com. With me is my very special expert guest Zarif Tapia, Vice President and Head of Virtual Events at AdFactors PR. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. And we are back. This is your host and friend Pawan R. Chawla. With me is Zarif Tapia, Vice President and Head of Virtual Events at AdFactors PR. So Zarif, what's the experience been like during the first 14-15 months of the COVID pandemic for you at AdFactors events with CMOs and with virtual events?
It's been a hugely rewarding experience for me and my team at AdFactors events, Pawan. We've had the privilege of working with some incredibly brave and evolved clients who have pushed us to curate some compellingly produced and presented virtual and hybrid events for their audiences. So it's been great.
And okay, so count them off your fingertips. What are the sectors that have deployed virtual events successfully and impactfully and that you and your team at AdFactors events have worked on?
It's been literally across the board, but if you look at the major spenders would be the BFSI sector, the consumer durables, mobility, and of course technology companies. They have been really spearheading virtual. But healthcare, infra, and tourism have also been pushing the envelope in terms of engagements.
It's good to have evolved clients, isn't it? And what are the kind and scales of virtual events? Let's count them off one by one.
Oh, it's right from 100 PAX media announcement or press conference to a 13,000 PAX brand launch.
Wow.
And I'll tell you some examples as we move on. A global investor summit running for 3 days with 50 panelists and 1,000 audiences to a 40,000 PAX employee broadcast.
Wow.
CEO thought leadership events, investor meets, employee engagements, B2B engagements, facility inaugurations, product launches, listing ceremonies for IPO clients. The sky is just not the limit. And my team, Pawan, is at AdFactors is really equipped to produce interactive studio-style broadcasts, digital avatars, interactive content, gamification apps, all creatively conceived and delivered to meet our clients' and brands' communication objectives. So it's been an amazing journey.
Seems like you've had 9-day working weeks. So that's a massive scale, Zarif, of the kind of sectors and having really good clients who understand and see the promise of what you can deliver with your team. So can you share from your own experience the biggest event you produced during, say, the past 4 or 5 months, or let's say from the smallest to the biggest event you pulled off in the past 4 or 5 months?
So Pawan, for us, it's not so much about the size of the event necessarily, but rather how impactful we could make them for achieving a client's objectives. Mm. We really want to ensure what we call as return on objectives, mm-hmm. ROO, mm. Is really high and measurable, you know, irrespective of the scale, number of people in the audience. As I said, we've gone up to 40,000 people in the audience for one organization. So we produced events of every size and scale, you know, from a brand launch for Vodafone Idea to product launches for Tanishq, SBI Life, Sher Khan, and consumer launches for Tata Tea, Garmin, you know, smart for the smartwatches, Lava Mobiles, jump to trade engagement events for Singapore Tourism Board and Hindalco, CEO thought leadership events for various banks and government departments. So it's been quite a rich experience. I would like to add here that we also pride ourselves in being able to plan in a way that we make our events foolproof when crisis beyond our control occurs. You know, for example, we had planned for a 1,000 PAX event and we actually landed up having 13,000 people log into our platform.
My God.
And we managed that without a glitch. So, yeah, the things that we do.
So it really just underlines the importance, the criticality of having a rock solid tech platform, you know, and that comes in with, you know, a professional experiential team. So what's your experiential team at AdFactors PR like, Zarif?
So we're a team which is a cohort of event strategists, planners, technologists, and literally creative mavericks, a mix of creativity, innovation, execution skills, and planning, peppered with a thirst for learning and growing. It goes without saying that this craving to explore and learn, or even unlearn and relearn, has helped us deliver, you know, the client's vision.
Wow, wonderful. So, and what's the combined experience of the team like?
Approximately 100 plus years in the events and experiential industry, I would think.
That's amazing. That's wonderful.
And I think the biggest advantage for us at AdFactors Virtual Events is we are part of this vision and I would say ecosystem within the organization that is really driving digital. And you know, we really are a digital first communications agency.
Wow.
And that's really helping us integrate ourselves with the organization in order to really deliver superior experiences for clients.
Excellent. So you have this fabulous team and you're into virtual events and then in a place that is so completely digital, heart and soul. Wow. Zarif, now let's go from, you know, the kind of wonderful time you've had with a wonderfully gifted team doing and launching so many wonderful events to something which is really a saddening aspect and a persistent thought so far. You know, we just hope that the lockdown opens up soon, but so many young events professionals are feeling completely confused and distraught. What advice would you give them, Zarif? What can they learn to up their skill sets and how can they look out for work? What future advice would you give them?
That's a great question, Pawan. You know, given what everyone's gone through, there are a lot of questions and doubts in people's minds about the future of this business. I just want to add here that the way I see it, we've got really exciting times, at least for the next 10 years. In the whole virtual hybrid events, the live event space. And here's why. One, whether it be live, virtual or hybrid, whatever the format, the goal still remains the same, to engage the audience. And that's not going anywhere.
Right.
That's a need that's just going to... it's just a human need, right?
Correct.
And a need for businesses to connect with the audiences. So that's not going anywhere. Two, thanks to the adoption of digital, experience and connection can happen in a multitude of ways digitally now. Brands have really come a long way in finding the value of experiential, and this presents a whole new level with this adoption of digital. The key now is to think about how your brand comes across on the screen other than on ground. And there's a huge difference between just talking to a camera in a web stream and delivering a curated brand experience. So
right.
There'll always be demand for great experiential planners.
Wow.
And last but not the least is we're going to soon have 5G technology being introduced in India and of course the rest of the world, which will allow multitude of benefits for the virtual and the event space. For example, real-time, low latency, which basically means no delay in streaming for remote audiences. Just imagine the benefits of that kind of a network. Holograms and data tracking in real time, facial recognition technology for contactless check-in at physical events. So 5G is going to really revolutionize events in that space. So I think the future is really bright.
What is your advice then to the young professionals?
Stick to fundamental principles of engagement and experiences, which I kind of touched upon earlier, which is educate, inspire, connect, and community. While we embrace technology and create memorable and impactful experiences, that's what we all should be doing.
Excellent, excellent. And Zarif, how do you keep your experiential events team at AdFactors upgraded on knowledge, skills, new trends, new tech, etc.? I mean, you did mention that obviously it's a very, very digitally driven communications entity.
Pawan, I firmly believe we can only create great experiences for our clients if we have great experiences ourselves. So for my team, we keep tinkering with new tech, new platforms. We attend global technology and innovation events to learn what's going on and what's coming up that we could bring to our clients. Collaborate with the best minds in the industry. And when I say that, I mean not just from a technology perspective. It could be artists, it could be creative folk. and work with partners who really share our passion and excitement for path-breaking work. So that's how we keep the inspiration going.
Excellent. So, you know, you spoke first about the massive hits that the experiential event space has taken. In fact, all of the live space that used to happen, all the business in the live spaces. And then you've given advice to the youngsters on, you know, why they must keep their chin up and why the next 10 years really look very, very promising indeed. So tell me a little more on that count. What does the future of events look like to you? Will live events be back as, you know, they used to be pre-pandemic, or will it be virtual or somewhere in between? I expect it will be the last, but I still want to hear it from you, the expert.
Oh, this is such a crucial question, Pawan. Thanks for putting it up. So as an industry, our digital capabilities are now far more advanced than they were pre-pandemic. And this is only good news for the environment, right? Because going virtual in the last year has literally forced us as an industry to be more innovative in order to deliver memorable and sustainable experiences. So when live events actually get a green light, which has kind of happened in a way in the Western world, but it's going to take a little more time in India, the impact on the environment is likely to be higher than pre-pandemic. And I must elaborate a little bit here. Because we may need to factor in additional hygiene measures, which will come in at a cost to the business and the environment, PPE, sanitation points, single-use items for F&B. This will all add up to a whole lot more of waste, all of which makes virtual platforms definitely more attractive and cost-effective for businesses.
Excellent. Yes, absolutely.
You know, so right from travel to F&B, from venues and energy consumption to bulky signage and stands, from single-use plastic to accommodation, all these elements add up to one big carbon footprint for live events, with significant greenhouse gas emissions, I mean, which the industry has been kind of finding innovative solutions for. So the future most likely is going to be hybrid. And what I mean by that is people increasingly will want the choice of attending in person, virtually, or in a hybrid format. And hybrid events can offer the most sustainable solution, you know, the most environmental friendly solution, combining the best of both virtual and live events, but crucially giving people that choice.
Excellent.
You know, of either or. And it's already happening now, Pawan. We've already executed quite a few hybrid events wherein there's a smaller live audience in a banquet room and a much larger virtual one where we broadcast the event too. So moving forward, we'll have to be mindful of both, of our virtual audiences as well as our live audiences, and give them the choice. So that's literally the future that I see coming into play.
Wow, Zarif, that was truly insightful. And you know, of course, people are waiting for live events to come back. But then, you know, this mindfulness that has come in to all of us, you said we've become more empathetic, brands have to be more empathetic. And that so beautifully reflects in your thinking and your vision for the entire experiential events industry looking ahead. You know, be more environmentally conscious, sustainability driven. That is really a great thought. Thanks, Zarif. Really insightful conversation that for me. What did you think of our little chat on The Master's Voice on MediaBrief.com?
It's been so amazing to chat with you, Pawan. I'm so happy to be with you on this. MediaBrief.com really reaches out to the right audience across the media business ecosystem. And more power to you. Let's hope we do more of these sessions. There have been some great talent that you brought on this platform in the past. And I'm really excited that we did this today. So thanks again.
Thank you very much, Zarif, for giving me time on a Sunday evening, no less. But you know, I record my podcasts on Saturdays and Sundays. And thanks for being such a sport. Zarif Thapia, Vice President Virtual Events at Factors PR, was my distinguished guest on this episode, the latest of The Master's Voice on MediaBrief.com. Till we meet again in yet another episode of The Master's Voice on MediaBrief.com, this is your host and friend Pawan R. Chawla saying, take care, stay safe, bye-bye.